Hello and welcome to Faith Conversations. My name is Mel Lorenz, and I'm really glad you decided to listen. Today we get to talk to interesting people from all over the world, different walks of life, and different perspectives on the intersection of real faith and real life. And today my guest is Margaret Feinberg, who is a popular public speaker, travels extensively talking to a wide variety of audiences. She is a prolific author, and we're going to talk to her today about one of her more recent writings called The Sacred Echo. Thank you, Margaret, for talking to us today.
It's great to be with you.
Margaret, before even starting to read the book, there was something very intriguing about that title, The Sacred Echo, because I could think of when the voice of God sounds like an echo, but I was curious to read the book and what you had to say about it. The subtitle is Hearing God's Voice in Every Area of Your Life. Why don't you just give us a bird's eye view of what you're trying to do in this book?
Yeah, I think for a lot of followers of Christ, I know that I struggle to recognize, you know, how do I recognize what is from God, what is my own thought, what is, you know, just a crazy dream that I had, and to distinguish. And one of the things that I've noticed is that there seems to be a repetitive nature to the voice of God in our life. And I think we see that in the scripture, but most of us have experienced it as well. Those moments when maybe you're spending time reading the scripture and you have that phrase or that word or that idea that just kind of pops off the page. And then, you know, maybe you go to church over the weekend services and there is the teacher teaching on that exact same passage. And later on in the week, you go out to lunch with your friends and the topic pops up again. You know, and then at the end of the week, maybe you open a calendar and there is the passage again. And you start thinking, maybe, just maybe, God is at work. And what I've been noticing in my own life is that when I listen to the whispers of God, you know, I kind of struggle, is that God or is that not? When I start listening for those sacred echoes, I walk more fully and more confidently into everything God has for me.
Is that because, Margaret, you're assuming that if it is an echo, if it's something that you're hearing from different people and different angles, that that gives you a greater degree of certainty that that is God speaking in your life?
Absolutely, and it helps my awareness. So if there is this sense of, you know, gosh, this just keeps popping up, it's an invitation to me to pray and to go and say, God, is this from you? And if this is, what are you trying to say? And will you make it clear? One of my classic lines to God is simply, God, I am a totally C student at this. So if you are going to want to speak to me, you need to make it clear. But what I find is the echoes help alert my attention to the work that God may be doing in my life.
Can you give us a concrete example, Margaret, either from your life or from somebody else that you know?
Yeah, here's a classic one. I was in college and just really, really struggling, going, you know, what am I supposed to do? When I graduated from college, that didn't go away, as it doesn't for most college graduates. And I remember I was spending a summer at an internship and just going, okay, God, you know, I want to honor you with my life. I want to do whatever it is that you want me to do. Just make it clear. And as I prayed, I didn't hear a thing. I mean, there was just no response. But as I was reading my Bible, I came upon a verse that talked about God having a hope and a future. And when I stumbled upon that verse, it was an incredible source of comfort that I have a hope and a future for you. And I go, okay, God, I know you've got that. And I'm still asking, what is it? But over the course of the next probably 3 to 4 weeks, I saw that same scripture everywhere I went. I mean, I would go and reach for the mug at the little Christian magazine that I was interning at, and it would have that passage on it. I would go for a walk or a jog, and the person walking toward me would have the Christian t-shirt on with that passage on it. It seemed like wherever I went, I kept running into that one verse again and again. And finally, the reality of that started to seep in my heart more, the sense that even when God isn't answering specifically, the truth that he still has a hope and a future remains the same. And so I think sometimes God keeps echoing or keeps bringing up the same passage or the same idea or the same verse until it's not just that we're aware of it, but that it's alive in our hearts.
One of the things that I found as a pastor, Margaret, is that one of the biggest questions on people's minds universally is, how can I know when God is telling me something? How could I know when God is leading me, when it's his voice or his whisper in my ear rather than just my own imagination? And of course, that raises the whole question of the objectivity of the Word of God and then inner promptings and so on. What would you have to say about that? What would you have to say to somebody today who said, I'm just looking for it. I'm longing to hear anything.
I think, first of all, to know that you are not alone. And that's the desire of so many of our hearts, is to go, God, speak, make it real, make yourself real in my heart. And so to know that you're not alone. I think secondly, to recognize that that longing to hear from God, I believe that that desire inside of our hearts, it's actually placed there by him. In other words, on my own accord, I don't think that I'm necessarily interested or Godward focused, but the reality that I have a desire for God or a desire to hear from him is comfort that God has planted that inside of me. He is the one who is stirring up, I believe, that hunger to know him and to hear his voice. So to recognize that if you have that desire, that God is already at work. I would encourage somebody who doesn't feel like, you know, God is speaking or is just going, God, I just need you to speak, to pray, to ask God specifically, God, I want you to speak, and give me eyes to see the ways that you may be speaking, ears to hear the ways that you may be hearing. And if there's been ways that I've been trying to listen and it's not working, will you expand my capacity for hearing you and recognizing you? And in that process of seeking and of listening, I think we inherently place ourselves in a posture where we're more sensitive to God and his spirit leading and nudging and speaking into our lives.
You're listening to Faith Conversations today. My guest is Margaret Feinberg, popular speaker and author, and we're talking with her today about her book with Zondervan called The Sacred Echo, Hearing God's Voice in Every Area of Your Life. It's available online, of course, local bookstore, and your website is margaretfeinberg.com?
Yes.
Okay. You raised the topic of prayer there. Let's talk a little bit about that. What should believers expect prayer accomplishes in terms of hearing from God? You ask God questions, you bring him your requests. Is it the quantity of prayer? Is it the intensity of prayer that brings about results, or does it work in some other way?
That's a funny, even just concept or question asked, because that idea that my prayer will bring about results. In other words, if I engage in the process of prayer, then in essence, I will get what I want. It kind of suggests that I am the one in control and that maybe I am God, when in fact, I think prayer is more the relinquishment and acknowledgement of I am not in control. I am not in God. I cannot do this, and I need God. And so I tend to view the posture of prayer as one of more of an acknowledgement of dependence, saying, God, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you in the lives of those in my family and my neighborhood and my community and in my world. And so I think that shifts the perspective of prayer. I know in my own prayer life, as I cry out and I recognize that dependence and I ask for God for specific things or to act or to move or to provide or to do those things, that at times I don't hear, I don't feel anything. In fact, I would even say that's probably the norm of most of my prayer. And the worst thing that I find that I do is that I'll sit and I'll have this laundry list of concerns and burdens that I pour out to God, and then I kind of end in a big amen, and I rush off and go about my day without ever making the time, the space to say, you know, God, what is your answer? Like, will you speak into this? Is there something that you want to alert my heart or my mind to? And so for me, I know making that space to listen is really important.
Thanks for that response, Margaret, because, of course, human nature causes us to say, if you're going to talk to God, you ask him for stuff and you wait and see what comes about. And the idea of surrender doesn't seem like getting that much, but you get a lot through surrender. What would you say is important for us to learn about the stance of a surrendered life before God?
I think in the context of prayer, so often what I find is that prayer doesn't change God. It doesn't always even change circumstances, but often what it changes is my perspective of God and my perspective of those circumstances. And so it's in the process of prayer that I go, maybe in my prayer, I'm like, God, this is the most important thing, and God, I just need you to do this. And as I pray and as I listen, what I start to recognize is really that's not even in God's top 10. You know, and so there becomes a shift in our heart, or what we think is the most important and what we're utterly focused upon. God has this way of kind of shifting that, and in that we find ourselves surrendered to him and saying, you know, your way, what you desire, is more important.
This is the end of part one of a two-part interview